When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to this or watching this going, oh, that sounds familiar. And,
yeah.
and it may be for the first time in their life making that realization or putting a name to it. Putting like, it's not just, you know, the family's really tight and I don't get along with them, or they see things differently, or they're controlling. There is a dynamic here of what enmeshment is. How does that then translate to folks who grew up in an environment like this, to them branching out in adult life into their own personal relationships, specifically romantic relationships?
It creates a huge problem when you have another person enter the family system. And that's mm-hmm. usually when one of the adult kids gets married. And I have story after story about adult kids who come to therapy because they're having severe marital problems, because the, we'll say mom, could be dad, but usually mm-hmm. it's mom, is trying to control everything about the spouse. And it creates, you know, where do we go on holidays? How do we raise the kids? I have a neighbor who's fascinating because you can tell they're very enmeshed. She's got four adult kids in their 30s and 40s, and they come every Sunday for dinner. And it's like they have to come. It is, you know, it's like the kids cannot disappoint mom. And I've gotten to know all of them over the years. And you can just look at things like that, where this is a family ritual, it's a routine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's great to get together for dinner now and then, but to have it be, we cannot disappoint mom because Sunday dinner is the thing. And yeah, when they get a spouse that maybe doesn't want to do that every Sunday, then you have conflict. And the other interesting thing that happens is the parent always blames the spouse. Well, it's her fault because she's poisoning his mind against us, or she's not allowing us to raise the kids the way we think. And so it's all her. Mm-hmm. And it puts the son in a terrible position with, you know, trying to keep mom happy and show up for every holiday that she wants them there, and then feeling a loyalty to his wife, which is really where his loyalty should be.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate terribly. I was in one of those situations. And I think when I woke up in the morning, I pissed off my mother-in-law.
Because you're alive?
Just because I woke up. I didn't die in my sleep. Yeah, I just existed. We were high school sweethearts. We dated for 10 years. And she just, boy, I was taking her little boy away from her. And I'll never forget, I had emergency surgery on an ovarian cyst. And she came to my bedside and like grabbed my arm and said, "You better be able to still have children." Jesus. And I'm like on a morphine pump at this point. Like, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, like well, it's I something went. You can do and fix at that moment too. Like, let me check. Let me just reach down there and figure it out for you.
Right? I'm fresh out of surgery. And instead of, oh, I, you know, hope you have a great recovery. You better be able to have children. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I mean, what is, Siobhan, what is going through that woman's mind that this is the appropriate response to say to someone fresh out of surgery?
Sure lacks empathy, doesn't she? It's always about her needs and her inability to see that this is off. It's profoundly narcissistic. That's a crazy, crazy in-law there.
Yeah, well, she wasn't an in-law for very long. I got the hell out of there.
Good for you.
How did he react to that, Stacey?
He cowered. He did nothing. This was a symptom of a problem. She got drunk on our, it was my senior prom. He was a year younger than me, his junior prom. And she was drunk and didn't like my dress. Now, this was in the 80s. It was a cute dress, but she didn't like it. She didn't feel that it complimented her son. I mean, so this was over and over, and she completely ruined our prom night because she was just a blathering drunk. She was pissed at me. He ended up forcing her to apologize to me the next day. That was the only time that he ever stood up against her. And there was some repercussions for that as well. She didn't talk to him. We actually weren't invited to certain dinners and things like that. So she punished him for standing up to her. And then I don't think he ever did it again.
Do you have any pictures of that dress, Stacey? I'd love to see that.
I do. I don't have them handy, but it was a black dress because every woman has to have a little black dress. And that's exactly what it was. It was strapless. It was so cute. Had just lace, like a lace skirt. It was adorable.
Sounds wonderful.
I'm sure Todd could make an AI version of it right now that is very true to reality that we could look at here in just a few moments to go back to the 80s.
Yeah. It was traumatizing because I didn't do anything wrong. And all I did was love this boy at the time and thought that we had a future together. And here's this crazy woman who is seeing me as a threat. I mean, almost like a dog, like guarding her bowl of food and I'm coming in to take a little nugget out of it. And it's like, holy crap, woman.
When you have the enmeshed mom role, and let's specifically talk about that, like in Stacey's situation, do they ever get better? Do they ever realize, you know what, after so many relationships that I've destroyed for my child over here or put this much weight on, do they realize it as they're destroying things, or they're saving their kid probably in their mind because they weren't good enough for them anyhow? Is there ever that moment that they say, "I'm going to back off here. I'm going to let you live your life," or does it pretty much does the adult child of the enmeshed mom and the narcissistic mom just pretty much have to go through life and count down the days until they're in the ground for this to stop?
Yeah, I wish I could be optimistic. I always try to hold hope, but I can't say that. Have I ever seen one that got insight and changed? I don't think so. And usually you can help the kids, you know, in therapy, learn to set boundaries and gain perspective that this is not normal and it is ruining your relationships. So that's sort of where the shift can happen.
Sure.
But a person this profoundly narcissistic, that's just who they are.
Are there different degrees of this? Because you notice when Wendy was up on the stand, she was still trying to, well, I don't know, and in ways play down her mother's narcissism. I don't know if I call her this, but I call her that. And eventually she kind of does realize it. I think Wendy's also a little bit fearful that Donna holds the cards and could send her to prison for the rest of her life. But take that out of the equation. Do you have different degrees of this where it's harder to always identify in relationships? Because it's not always to such an nth where, you know, the ex or the spouse gets offed by a hitman, but there's the emotional manipulation and things of that nature that don't always come with the giant red flag, and they come with enough of a yellow flag that one can say, well, I was just doing this and that, and you're misunderstanding me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the degree of insight varies. And mm-hmm. as with all these things, there's a continuum with it. Mm-hmm. And this is a case where it is my guess now that Wendy's gotten some insight from this hellish disaster that's resulted. Yeah. And is there hope for her? Well, if she doesn't go to prison, hopefully lessons learned here. But I think Donna will go to her deathbed with her story, believing her story that this was all about saving her children and her grandchildren, and therefore it was justified.
Is this kind of like and I don't mean to go back so far to, I want to say the 90s, 2000s, but Everybody Loves Raymond. Is this just Marie Barone on steroids?
I never saw it.
Oh, come on. Oh, you're killing me, woman.
I never saw that.
You'll watch a couple episodes.
I'll have to do that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you put the nice situational comedy filter on it, it makes everybody feel good about it. But I think that's a lot of what we have in our society. There's very dark, damaging things that characters like this do that don't go to murder, but we write them off so much as well, it's like that sitcom. It's like that character over here. But in reality, I mean, that could be a really dark piece of that sitcom if you really wanted to dive into it. Like, what's going on in Marie's home when she's sitting there? What's going on in her thoughts at night about Raymond and about their life and what she wants to control? It probably wouldn't be so situational comedy-like if we were to really dive into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to have ways of, you know, padding the walls a little bit and not wanting to quite grasp the depth of what it is, you know, that we're dealing with. Do Amesh families typically realize that they're abnormal, or does it take outside intervention for something to happen before someone says, hey?
Yeah, I don't think they realize they're abnormal. And I think it's also true for disengaged families. I came from a very disengaged family where mm-hmm. you were told at 18, you better have a plan and get out of the house and you're going to be on your own. And so there was no parental involvement in life, mm-hmm. certainly from adolescence on. Parents just kept their hands off. And I think that sort of set me up for, really bad decisions, because how do you make a decision when you're 15 about what you're going to do to support yourself? And there was no support for college or anything like that. So I think that there's a degree of cluelessness. No matter what kind of family you're raised in, you just think it's normal. You mm-hmm. you think that this is how families work. And maybe you get some insight, you know, if why are you anxious and depressed? Why have you made bad decisions? You talk to other people who say you were raised in a really odd situation, but you don't see it until that happens.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.